I'm going to talk to you this morning about a topic that every single person in this room, no matter what, no matter who, we all deal with. And that is, what do we do with our enemies? What do we do with our enemies? Everybody's got them. Every single person in here has an enemy of some sort. And I want to go over, what does the Bible say, not do what we say, what does the Bible say of how to deal with enemies? I have some. I have some probably in this room that wish I would never talk about this, but that's the way it works. Preachers do get enemies. They do get people that are against them, and it is what it is. But understand this, everybody in this room has some. We're all on common ground here. And I want to go over three sets, three different types of enemies that we all go through. And I want to read with you one verse, and we'll talk about the first one here in a second, and I'm going to make seven statements about enemies. So let's all stand together. 1 Peter chapter 5. It is now 11:05. I'm going to do my best to be out before 11:05 this afternoon, p.m. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. That's not talking about drinking, although I don't think you ought to drink either. In any way. Even a little. I don't think you ought to drink at all. I don't think alcohol ought to touch your lips. Get mad at me all you want to, but I don't think alcohol ought to ever touch your lips. Don't tell me alcohol made anybody better. Never works out that way. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, that's everybody, every single person is wrapped up into that, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, that's you, you and me, your adversary, that, by the way, he's very real, he's very active. In this day and age, he's more active than I believe he's ever been. He knows exactly what's going on. He's after everybody. Just to let you know that, he's after everybody. If you're a Christian today, you got a big fat target on you. He wants to take you out. If you're a young Christian, oh my soul, he really wants to take you out. Because if you don't get going for the Lord, he's got you handled, okay? So I'm going to go over this enemy. That's just one of them, though. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Sells, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen. You may be seated. I have some statements that I want to tell you about enemies. Statement number one, there will always be enemies on this side of heaven. There's never going to be a time that you are without enemies on this side of heaven. I'm sure if you think in your mind, and by the way, I'm not talking about people mad at you. I'm talking about enemies. I'm talking about people that don't want you to succeed, don't want you to go forward. By the way, there's a difference between that. You can have disagreements and not be enemies. Amen. But everybody has enemies, and there will always be enemies. Number two, enemies, are you ready for this? You'll like this. Enemies can be both real and imagined. Enemies can be both real and imagined. I know a lot of people. Thank the Lord. I'm glad to have a lot of acquaintances. Many of them deal with enemies that don't exist. Think about that for a minute. And I'm not talking about psychological. I'm talking about they believe folks are out to get them. They believe everybody's after them. And they have these enemies in their life that are not real enemies. But hold on. To them, they are very real. Now, when you come across a person that has real, imagined enemies, and this is just a sidebar, when you come across somebody that has real, imagined enemies, you must not treat them as the enemies are imagined. I'm trying to teach you something before we go on here. If you treat them as if the enemies are imagined, then you are then seen as an enemy. As Christians, we must understand something. We've got a job to do. The greatest job a Christian can do for other Christians and people that we know is help them along their way, exhort them to the things of Christ. If I walk up to Jimmy and I say, Jimmy, you're an idiot. That enemy's not real. You're a moron. Why would you feel that way? That's stupid. Huh? I'm sure along the way you've met somebody that has said that to you. It's not real. Your problem's not that big. It's not that big of a deal. I've got lots of enemies, and I live my life just great. That's not how you live your life. As a Christian, you must understand this. And I tell you, if there's one thing I could help the life of a Christian person, is that to know this, that everybody's problems that they're going through are big to them. Please hear that. Everybody's problems that they're going through are big to them. They may not be big to you. But did you ever imagine that maybe that's why you're introduced to that person? Because you've been through what is a big problem to them that is no longer a big problem to you. That just a little while ago that problem that they're going through was big to you too. And now you're supposed to help them through. The reason I started out with the simple fact that there will always be enemies, the reason I started out with the fact that everybody has them, is because I want you to look around this room today and come to grips with there's a harvest field in here of people that need help, that need people to care about them. Why do I like Bethel? Because we love each other. Why do I like Bethel? Because we truly care about each other. Why do I like Bethel? Because we truly want to know and want to help in people's lives. And if you fall off of that bandwagon where you no longer want to help and you no longer want to care about people, I would to God you'd find another church. Well, you're just about to take over pastor, buddy. I don't think you ought to be saying those things. We don't need your kind of help here. What we need is the help that Jesus would give us. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to pussyfoot with you. If you don't want to care about somebody, then don't stay here. This is a Sunday morning crowd. I don't think you should preach this way. Let me ask you, you want me to tell you why I'm doing this? Because there's going to be a day you need somebody. Huh? There's going to be a day you need somebody. And would you like somebody to treat you the way you treated somebody? I'm going to need somebody someday. Do I want Jim to come up to me and say, hey, preacher, you called me a moron and everything else. That's what I'm going to call you now. That's what you deserve, buddy. Your problem ain't that big. I know you don't have a jump shot anymore, preacher. I know that. I know you're old and fat and you can't play basketball against me anymore. I know that. Ha-ha, fat boy. Ha-ha. I don't need that in my life. I know that. What I need him to do is still care about me. Huh? All that was a sidebar. Aren't you glad? It would do us a little bit worse than to start caring about people. It would do us a little worse than to start taking an active interest in people's lives. Because your life isn't the only life in this room. Enemies can be both known and unknown. You ever have one of those? The enemy you didn't know was there? Huh? The one that, come here, Jimmy. I'm going to use you all day. How would you like this kind of enemy right here? He shakes your hand, big smile. Give me a big smile. Shakes your hand, big smile. You turn around to walk away, and he's got a knife up in the air like this. Huh? Huh? Oh, wait a minute, though. We all laugh because we've been followed. Huh? We've all laughed because there's been days in my life where I've had somebody come up to me and said, hey, preacher, I've been bitter with you all these years, and I've not liked you for all these years, and I didn't even know it. Hey, it's the way life works. There's always going to be enemies. Sometimes you know about them, sometimes you don't. But there are ways to deal with your enemies that the Lord tells us how to deal with them. By the way, not even to the message yet. Enemies are never convenient. You ever have a convenient enemy? Glad to see you today. Don't expect them to be convenient. Don't expect, they come to you. Enemies come when you're having a bad day. You ever notice that? Enemies don't wait till everything's going good. Enemies wait until everything's going bad. And then they show up and kick you. Here's one that you won't understand. Enemies are sometimes necessary. That's stupid. You know, one of the greatest things to get people close to the Lord is to have trials. One of the greatest things. Hey, listen, can I ask you a question? If there's no devil, why is there any Lord? Because he had to save us from something, and the devil wants us all to go to hell. That's our adversary. That's our enemy. Aren't you glad your advocate, your ally is a whole lot stronger than your enemy? Sometimes enemies are necessary. Preachers talk about them as people that keep us on our toes. Huh? Did you know people like that exist? Maybe you are one. The heavier I get, the harder it is for me to get on my toes, just to let you know. Enemies are sometimes necessary. An enemy of your enemy is not your friend. Well, that's an old proverb, right? That enemy of my enemy is my friend. No, they're not. Nothing irritates me more than watching this. Nothing irritates me more than watching this. Jimmy, I told you I was using you. Come here. Nothing irritates, this is my biggest pet peeve in the whole wide world. Nothing irritates me more than this. Man, how are you doing? Man? Did you see what Austin Shell was wearing today? I'm going to tell you right now, that kid is a nerd if I ever saw one. I'm going to tell you right now, he's never made a basketball jump shot in his entire life. Did you know that? Good night in the whole wide world. He must be horribly depressed on how good of a shooter he is. God is so good. God is so good. Hey, it's good to be in church today. Praise God. Glory to God. Austin, how you doing, buddy? Why'd we put glass doors on the classrooms? I got tired of not being able to see in there. You get mad at me all you want to. I'm sick and tired of our people getting tore up. I'm looking at everybody that thinks I'm looking at them right now. Yes, I am. I'm getting tired of my people getting tore up. Tired of it. And it's a good church, good people. Great, good people. Love God. I believe that with all my heart. But if you don't think the devil wants to break that up, you're crazy. I'm tired of our people getting tore up. I'm tired of you going home and talking about my pastor. Tired of it. Tired of it. I'm tired of you going home and talking about me. Unless it's good. Then keep talking. Praise God. Do you know that the enemy of your enemy is not your friend? Do you know it's not good to build friendships on a common enemy? Think about that for a minute. You know, it's amazing to me how much you have in common when you have a foe. Huh? Am I over anybody's head today? I don't believe I am. You know, if Brother Jimmy and I both don't like Austin, it's amazing how quickly we'll talk to each other. You're not going to talk about how good God is, by the way. Well, stick with me. You're starting to hate this message. I see you. You're stewing right now. You just want me to be nice all the time. Yeah! If we both have the same common enemy, that does not make us friends. And it doesn't make you friends because you like to talk about somebody else. It doesn't make you friends when you've got a common enemy. It makes you enemies of that enemy. That's all it does. You've got one thing in common. What a horrible thing to build a friendship on. You've got one thing in common. What a horrible way to live your life. Because here's the thing. Jimmy and I don't like Austin. He really doesn't. That's his big brother. But We don't like Austin. What happens someday if Jimmy decides, you know what, Austin's really not that bad? What happens someday if Brother Jimmy all of a sudden says, you know what, my brother's a pretty cool guy. I like my brother. I think I'm going to stick around with him. What do you think is going to happen to me? Because, by the way, he's going to go tell Austin everything I said about Austin, about his jump shot. Huh? Now guess what? I've got two enemies. Apparently neither of them were my friend. Amen? Life is not that hard if we watch what the Bible says. Life is not that difficult if we understand what was always taught in the years past. The golden rule was always taught, man, I got to shut this door. Preacher's going to have a heart attack. I couldn't get Jimmy to stop talking behind this thing. That's what it was. An enemy of your enemy is not your friend. Building relationships with a common enemy is a horrible thing to build relationships on. And the last one I'm going to tell you, and I'm getting the message. Enemies do not have to stay enemies. Oh, yes, we do. No, you don't. Come on, think with me. Come on. Come on, Christian. Do you really have to stay enemies? Come on now. Is there really so much between you that you cannot break off the thought of being an enemy? And by the way, I'm not even to the message yet. These are just observations I've had over a lot of years of being here. I'm going to be right up front with you. I have broken every one of these statements. I really have. I've built friendships because of a common enemy. Horrible way to build friendships, by the way. I've gone ahead and been the one behind that closed door saying all those things about Austin, not about people. I've been the one that has done all these things. I've been there. I've done that. It's a horrible way to live. It's a horrible way to live. And if you're mad at me right now, I'm talking to you. Why would you want to live with an enemy? Why would you want to live with the thought process in this room of somebody that you just don't like so much that you can't live? Why would you want to live that way? I ask myself that same question. I've had people come through my life that are incorrigible. I mean, how in the world do you expect me to put up with you? Horrible. Lots of times horrible. But the Bible tells us how to deal with that. I don't believe you're going to like it. Because I know I didn't like it. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. Enemies do not have to stay enemies. We'll get back to that in 1 minute. Number one, the enemy. Number one, the enemy. We talked in 1 Peter 5:8 about the enemy. If you look at Matthew chapter 13 with me quickly. Matthew chapter 13. It's a parable speaking about the wheat and the tares, and I want you to notice a couple things about this, about the enemy. That enemy is the devil, by the way. And if you look at Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. I want you to understand that. He sowed good seed. He sowed good seed. And by the way, just because you're sowing good seed does not mean you're not going to have enemies, okay? Just hold on. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Can I ask you a question? Did the man that was sowing do anything wrong? By the way, it's not a requirement to do something wrong to have an enemy. Not a requirement. You may do everything right and have an enemy. Matter of fact, if you do things right, you'll probably have enemies. Look at this now. And went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, understand this. That enemy that he's speaking of is the devil. That enemy that he's speaking of is Satan himself. In our lives, we can sow as much good seed as we want to. The devil will let you have that. And it's amazing. This is absolutely true. Did you know the devil will let you have church? Think about this for a minute. The devil's good. I'm going to tell you, he's good at it. He's been doing it for a long, long time. He'll let you have church. He'll let you have hymns. He'll let you have Independent Fundamental Baptist. He'll let you have all those things. But then one time he's going to come by with tares. And he's going to go ahead and throw them in there. Oh, he'll let you have the wheat. You got wheat. And he'll go ahead and throw in some tares. And it's amazing how much the tares make life miserable. Huh? It's amazing how many things come into our life, those tares, those things in our life. What did the farmer do with them? Sometimes the enemy's necessary. He let them stay there. There's going to be a day when the Lord takes care of those tares. You know, he didn't go out to destroy the tares. He waited until it was ready for harvest. It's amazing to me as we watch our Christian lives. I like saved people when they just get saved. One of my favorite things to see. They come to church skipping, buddy. Hey, Pastor Dave, that's the greatest message I ever heard in my life. I love those kind of people. Because you forget how to say that real quick. Hey, preacher, I love church. Man, I love the singing. I love the choir. I love everything that's going on. Man, glory to God, this is where I'm supposed to be. Then life comes. Salvation was great. My life should be wonderful from here on out. Then the enemy comes. Man, my tire went flat. What are you doing, God? I'm not saying that the devil did that. I'm telling you, it takes hard work to be a Christian. It takes hard work to stick in with it. It takes hard work to avoid the world. It takes hard work to get that devil out of your life. It takes hard work to get those things that are hindering you and keeping you down and making you not be a Christian. It bothers me when a Christian that's been a Christian for a while no longer gets excited about God, no longer cares about God. And I wonder if the tares haven't overtaken their wheat. I wonder if the things that the enemy has put in has overtaken part of their life so much that they don't realize how good God is anymore. We have an enemy. And the devil will let you have your wheat. But he'll soon sow in the tares if we aren't careful. By the way, while they were sleeping and not watching is when the tares came. In your life, do you know this, that you can watch? You can watch for things to come in your life that aren't good. You can watch and make sure they stay out of your life. You can watch and make sure you avoid them at all costs. You can watch and make sure they don't become part of your life. Very difficult thing to do. Happens to many people that let bad things come into their life. And they happen and God's ready to forgive you. But wouldn't you like to avoid the tares if at all possible? If we watch this enemy and avoid bad seeds. Avoid bad seeds. I believe that's how the Lord wants us to deal with that enemy. He wants us to deal with that enemy by watching, being sober, being vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's very, very real, and every one of us have him. We can be sober. The Lord tells us to watch and avoid bad seeds. Now, there's another set of enemies. That was the enemy. Then there's enemies of the cross. Now, this might ruffle some feathers, and that's okay. But there are enemies of the cross that are out there, and I'm going to show you what the Lord says to deal with them. Take this for what it's worth. It's all up to you. But this is how the Lord says to deal with enemies of the cross. You don't deal with an enemy of the cross by going to a Joel Osteen sermon. Can I say that here? You don't deal with an enemy of the cross by partaking in what they're doing. Look at what it says. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians. Preacher's going to be real nice to you tonight. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 15. Verse 15 says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, not ones that are perfect, because I'm looking across this room and I'm having trouble finding one. I'm talking about perfect being saved. Amen? Let those that are perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You ever had that, by the way? You got another idea in your head, and God reveals to you how dumb you are? I love that. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You should mark those that are walking according to Scripture. Mark those and use those as an example. Mark the good people that are walking around you in a good, godly way and use them as an example. Well, you ought not follow men as an example. Read your Bible. If I could follow one of my heroes, Brother Carl McDaniel, live out, he loves this, by the way. It's one of his favorite things. He's going to start saying no any minute. If I could follow him in his faith, follow how he lived his life through trials, follow how he lived his life through going through bad times, so if I could follow him and use him as an example, I've got him in my life. I've got that man marked. By the way, you need to mark men. Now, you should not try to hold them up as heroes, because Carl is a sinner. He really is. He's a sinner. He really is. I know you've never seen it, but he's a sinner. Jesus has to go way back in his file cabinet to find Carl's last sin. I know that. But you must understand this. Carl's a sinner, but I want to be able to follow his example. I want to follow his example. I want to follow, man, I tell you, if I could be a preacher like my father-in-law the rest of my life, man alive, I've had the joy of being under him for 20 years. If I could be half as successful as him, I'd be excited. I've marked him as someone to watch their life, watch their example. I'm not talking about marking LeBron James. I'm not talking about marking a celebrity. I'm not talking about marking some unsaved person. I'm talking about marking those that follow faith and using them as examples in our lives. Not holding them up as heroes, although you could say they're my heroes, but I'm not putting them on a pedestal. Whose faith follow, not the man, whose faith follow, but the faith is through the man. Are you understanding me? I don't want to confuse you, but there's people that you need to watch and people you need to look at. Man, do they miss church? No. Do they come to everything? Yes. Do they pray? Yes. Do they read their Bible? Yes. Follow that faith. Look at this now. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. What do we do with them? What do we do with them? These are people that don't walk as the Bible tells them to. And I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about people that have got a new idea. If somebody brings a new doctrine to you, they're an enemy of the cross. Huh? If somebody's not willing to preach against sin, they're an enemy of the cross. If somebody is willing to go against this Bible in any way, put a question mark behind it at all, any doubt, anything, at all, they're an enemy of the cross. I don't even like guys discussing about this book. It makes me nervous because we're morons. Men in general don't have an idea about God's word. All I do is this. Say what you want. I'm going to stay stupid my whole life. This is the word of God. I believe it with all my heart. Nobody's going to make me change. It's the truth. It's perfect, preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible, and in my hand. And I'm not going to have fellowship with a person that does not believe that. If you're going to sit there and tell me that you don't need to have the word of God to go out and lead somebody to Christ, I don't want to walk with you. I don't want to go soul winning with you. Good people, nice people. Don't have no problem with that. But we're never going to agree. What does the Bible say to do with them? What does the Bible say to do with them? What does the Bible say? Now, don't worry about what I say. What does the Bible say? Let's see what the Bible says. Whose end, verse 19, is destruction. Whose God is in their belly. And whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, yes, it does. Do you know why they put the question mark behind the Bible? Because they want you to come to them to get their question answered. Huh? I'm not so dumb as you think I am. They want to be the authority. When man puts a question mark behind God's word, do you know who he's acting like? Can we go look? Oh, you're so dogmatic about the scripture. I'm so sick and tired of you talking about the scripture. Well, let me take you to Genesis chapter 3. And let me tell you why I'm so concerned. Because there aren't many preachers out there anymore that are saying, this is the word, thus saith the Lord, and that's the end. Well, you got one here. Well, no amens. Well, I'll amen myself. Amen, Brother Dave. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent, I hate snakes. They're nasty. Slithery little things. Never nice. You environmentalist wackos out there say, well, snakes are necessary to the environment. They are. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's many of them, and if I lop a few heads off with my shovels, I don't think the whole world's going to turn upside down. The serpent was more... It's amazing to me. The devil took the form of a what? A serpent. You have him in your garden all you want to. I want to chase the devil out. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Wait. Oh, yeah, that's funny, right? That's funny, it is. You know how many preachers across America are saying that today? You know how many preachers today are saying this is unnecessary? Yea, hath God said that this is necessary? The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know, it seems to me like it's necessary. What word am I going to give somebody that's going to help them to get saved? What word? What do I have? I'm a sinner. That makes no sense. It makes no sense that I've got the words of eternal life. I don't. The Bible does. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to let an enemy of the cross persuade me differently. I don't care how close they are to me. I'm not going to let somebody tell me that this is not the word of God and it's not necessary for somebody to get eternal life. It don't preach good to you, but it preaches good to me, and it preaches good to Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to get a glorified body. They won't question God about that. That's not a question. Yeah, I'm going to get a, oh, the Bible says I will. Yeah, but the Bible wasn't convenient for you last time. Look at Romans chapter 16 for me, please. Are you in a hurry? Here it is. What does the Lord tell us to do in His Bible? Don't take it from me. Let's take it from the Word of God. I like that. I see, then if you've got a problem with what I'm saying, you can pray about it. Take it to God. I'm fairly certain he's not changing what I'm telling you. Look what it says. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That Bible tells me to avoid them which cause division. That Bible tells me if they're doing something contrary to the doctrine of God, and if you don't think the Word of God is a doctrine of God, you've been in the wrong church. The Word of God is it's the doctrine. It is the doctrine. If they go contrary to that doctrine, mark them. Wait a minute. You just said to mark the faithful ones. I did. Everybody has relationships. Everybody has enemies. You should mark the ones that are going to help your life and try to follow their example according to Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us to mark them which causes divisions and causes offenses contrary to the doctrine of God. What do you think that is? Now, if you're supposed to mark them and avoid them, are you supposed to be with them? I got a lot of friends. I don't need a friend that doesn't believe in the book. Does that mean be mean and hateful? Nope. No, it doesn't. It certainly doesn't mean be mean and hateful. It does mean that there's other things that we're supposed to do. But we'll get to that in 1 second. If there's somebody that goes contrary, I'll give you a good example. Dear friend, and I can't go into a lot of details, but understand this, very dear friend, came to me one time, sat me down in a car, and he says, you know, I think all these years you've been wrong. He's not the only one that said that to me, by the way. But I think all these years you've been wrong. I think, personally, that the best translation, I stopped it right there. Because I know where you're going. If you say translation, you're not going to talk about a letter to the president, okay? When you're going to talk translation to me, you're going to say something about the Bible next. Now, I said this. I said, stop the conversation right there. I'm not wise enough. Can you hear what I'm saying? I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have near enough study and background to be able to prove to you why this is perfect. You're not going to like this. No man does. No man does. You can't go back to the originals because the originals were never here. The Bible says that it's forever settled in heaven. That means a copy came down first. From then it's been copy after 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 copy. And Psalm 12, 6 and 7 clears that right up. Thou shall keep them, O Lord. Not Jerry Falwell. Not Wes Gottenhort. Not any of those people that said they were so smart that they knew what God has said. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So what do I say? I say, I don't have near enough intellect to argue with you, but I will do this. Let's see what the Bible says about you.
Amen.
Now let me help you. Let me help you. Honest to goodness. Do you believe you're saved in here today? If you believe you're saved, then you must inherently believe the book that told you you are. Oh, that's good preaching right there. If you don't believe this book is true, if you don't believe this book is perfect, if you don't believe this book's inspired, how can you believe your salvation's right? And I'm going to tell you this with all my heart. If people start putting question marks behind the Bible, it's not because God wanted them to. It's because, yea, hath God said, still happens today. Enemies of the cross. Mark them and avoid them. Last one is our enemies. The adversary. Man, be sober, be vigilant. Looking out for him, buddy. He's out there. He wants to take you down. He'll do it as soon as possible. Enemies of the cross. Mark them. Avoid them. Stay away from them. You don't have to be mean to them. Don't have to be hateful. But you must mark them and you must avoid them because eventually they'll get you to doubt. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I hope I'm not boring you. Carried this around. Did a whole lap. Never took a drink. It's lime green. That doesn't look good in my hand. Bear with me. Matthew chapter 5. What do we do with our enemies? This stinks. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43, you mature Christians already know this. I have trouble with this. But you mature Christians already know this. Jesus says in verse number 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Yeah! Ha ha! Hate my enemy. And Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. What do we do with our enemies? This is hard now. This is hard now. But I don't believe Jesus ever asked it to be easy. You ready? Now, by the way, there's a third category enemy here. I can be friendly to the second group. It's going to be very difficult for me to be friends. There's people I can't be friends with? And that's hard, right? You're a preacher. You should be friends with everybody. Well, that's the ecumenical movement garbage. That's not true. There's going to be people who don't like me. There's going to be people I don't like because we don't go the same direction with the Bible. Sorry, I'm not going to go with that crowd. What do you do with these enemies? You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's pretty easy. I like my neighbor. My neighbor Homer, he's a good guy. I like that man. And hate thine enemy. Yeah, I'm with you. I like hating my enemies. Praise God. I hate them all the time. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Number one, you're supposed to love them. By the way, that takes work. Let me tell you why that takes work. In your flesh dwelleth what? So it's easy to hate because your flesh is full of it. Amen? Your flesh is full of that hate. Real easy to hate because your flesh already does it. But inside of you also dwells a spirit if you're saved. If you're saved in here today, you've got that spirit inside of you that's capable of being bigger than the flesh, but you got to let it, which is hard because it's very easy to talk badly about somebody because your flesh wants to do it. It's easy to have enemies because your flesh has them. It's at enmity with the things of Christ, and it can't be subject unto the things of Christ. but the Spirit inside of you, which is bigger and better and stronger than your flesh. But you've got to let the Spirit be bigger and stronger and better than your flesh, which is not easy. And that's why we all battle this. Don't you look around the room, point your chest out at me and say, I have loved my enemies forever. Because you are a liar. And I see more and more people, mature Christians, well, you just have to love your enemy, and if you don't, you're a bad person. Mature Christians feeling like you're helping. You're not helping. That's not helping. Good Lord. You must understand that it's not easy. It's not easy to break bad habits. It's not easy to do the right thing. It's not easy because your flesh is at war, and if we recognize that we're at war, we'll win more of them. So it says to love your enemies, but it doesn't stop there. I mean, Jesus wants more of us. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Really? I hate you, preacher. Bless you. Do you know how hard that is? You don't want to do it. By the way, nobody in the flesh does. Come on, can we be honest with each other today? I'm trying to help your lives. I believe this will help your life to realize what you're up against. The enemy is the source of all this garbage. And you've got to learn to love each other and care about each other and bless each other, even when they don't bless you. That's hard. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. Lord, you're killing me. Sad thing is, we can't take this out of the Bible. It's already in there. Good night. Pray for them which despitefully use you. You ever been despitefully used? That's not fun. It's one of those people... Preacher, I love you so much, preacher. Could you do this for me? And you do it and they turn around and hate you. That's despitefully using you. That's not fun. And you're supposed to pray for them. Really? And pray for those that persecute you. This message is going downhill fast. I was right with you on the avoiding and the marking. But now you're asking me to be nice to people that I don't like. That ye may be, keep reading, the children of your Father which is in heaven. If we are to be Christians, and I know it's been said so many times, but if we are to be God's children, he tells us about the adversary, the enemy. He tells us about enemies of the cross. Avoid them. Mark them. No need to have those type of conversations. Then he tells us about our enemies that aren't either of the first two. These are enemies that may be in our life, and the enemies that hurt the most are the enemies that are the closest. Yet we're still supposed to pray for them, love them, help them, which is not in your chemistry, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's a battle to do. So don't you feel guilty or bad or horrible because you just haven't been able to do it. I'm going to make you aware that the Spirit inside of you pleads with you to do what the Bible says. It really does. That flesh that will not do what the Bible says is completely contrary to the spirit that only wants to do what the Bible says. Your spirit inside of you will never tell you to go contrary to the Bible, ever. It will always tell you to go with the Bible. So if the Bible says this, don't argue with me. Take it home, open it up, put your finger on it, say, God, I disagree. But don't disagree with me. I'm just telling you what God said. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 17. Oh, I love you, Lord. Look at verse 17. You'll like this. Rejoice not, verse 17, 1-7, in Proverbs of 24. It says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. How many times? Oh, not only do we rejoice, we're praying for it. Come on, be honest with me. You've prayed for it. Well, I hope they break their kneecap. Yep. Come on. And you know what? They probably deserve it. You're going to tell yourself that, I guarantee. They deserve to fall on the brand new pavement and scrape their knee with the dirty tar stuff that ruins their suit. And in your mind, you're thinking of that person right now. Gotcha. But the Bible says this. It says in 24 verse, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. And by the way, you've got to let not your heart be glad. You've got to do this. This is something your spirit's got to take control. Because your flesh wants to say, yeah! Right? Everybody's looking at me. No, that's not how I am. That's not preacher. You're just so wrong here. That's not how I am. When my enemy falls, I'm there to help them up and pray for them. I've got Band-Aids and antiseptic. I'm going to help them with their... You are not! Liar! You hope they fell in malaria. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it. And here's nana, 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 right here. In the Hebrew, this is what this says, nana, nana, nana. Lest the Lord see it, and your actions, what you're doing, it, your actions, your happiness, your joy over your enemy falling, it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. That's weird. In other words, if I say, yeah, Jesus says, get up. No injuries, and here's $100. So then you get to sit by and go, you begin to take joy in other people's suffering. God sees it. By the way, I'm looking in the mirror when I'm preaching this because there's a lot of people I'd like to fall down. There's a lot of people I'd like to have them stumble, but is that what the Bible says I should be doing? What should I do? He takes care of that one more chapter over. Aren't you glad? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. Can it be moldy? I'm not going to give him butter. And it's going to be pumpernickel. Nobody likes pumpernickel. I know somebody does. I know somebody does. Okay, I get it.
I do.
If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. And here's your nana, nana, nana. Ready for the next verse? Nana, nana, nana. Here's what's fun. God says if you help him, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. What do we do with our enemies? We feed them when we're hungry. We give them water to drink if they're thirsty. Pray for them. Care about them. And if you do those things, and you'll hold on to this verse, the only thing you're going to remember about all morning is coals of fire on somebody's head. I'm going to my enemy's house this afternoon and giving him something to drink because I want to see him burn, buddy. I believe with all my heart, if you want to revolutionize your life, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. If you want, by the way, can I help you out a little bit? Your enemy has no trouble sleeping at night. Your enemy doesn't worry about you for 2 minutes. But you worry about your enemy every day. Every minute. You lose sleep at night. You get bitterness inside of you. Your health will go bad. And I'm talking physically, not spiritually. Spiritually, it's already bad. Physically, you'll start going bad. You'll start to get sick. You'll start to go through things. And this is no joke. You say what you want. I believe this to be true. One of the greatest things in the whole wide world for you is to be good to people. The Lord shall reward thee. Not if you're good to the people that like you. That's easy. It's easy for me to be good to him. It's easy for me to be good to you people. I like most of you. But it's hard. It's hard. It takes the Lord to be able to deal with your enemies. Let me read one more time. We've gone through this all. Now let me go back to how we started, and I'm all done. It's right at noon. You don't have to go ahead and turn around. Your roast is fine. There will always be enemies. Never going to live your life without them. We're human. It's horrible. We're human. I can't wait to get to heaven when none of this is an issue. No enemies there, and if there are, they're on the other side of town. Praise God. There will always be enemies. Enemies can both be both real and imagined. How many of those have you had? Enemies can be both known and unknown. Enemies are never convenient. Enemies are sometimes necessary. An enemy of your enemy is not your friend. And enemies do not have to stay enemies. In your life, if you can get alone with the Lord and say, please, Lord, allow my spirits. Let me tell you, and it won't be one prayer. It won't be. It's a battle that you're going to have the rest of your life. On this side of glory, you're going to deal with this your whole life. How do I deal with people that don't like me? You're going to deal with, and by the way, not everybody likes you. You can get over it. You just ain't that cool. There's going to be people who don't like you. It's the way it goes. You should love them, care about them, pray for them, bless them, help them, take them before the Lord. And that's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, if not the hardest thing you'll ever do. But that's what God has told us to do. And we can't ignore it. And here's what's worse, and I'm all done. Now, you know the truth, so you have no excuse. And I preached that off that back wall and came right back at me. Because I am the biggest advocate of enemy hatred in this room. But that's not what God has said. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh, please, in my life, help me. Help me to get past this process of fleshliness in my life as it occurs to my enemies. Lord God, help me to pray for them. That's so very hard. Help me to wish for their good fortune. Lord, it's so very difficult. Lord, help me not to rejoice when they have troubles. And boy, that's hard. Lord, help me to give them water if they're thirsty. Lord, help me to give them bread when they're hungry. And Lord, help me not to even rejoice when I heap coals of fire on their head because of it. Lord, help me to pray for them because that's what you have had me to do. Lord, please. I hope and pray that these folks didn't take me in the wrong light. I just believe it would revolutionize our lives. It would revolutionize our church if we could start to realize, Lord, that we are sinners and we need your help. This life is very difficult, nigh impossible, without you guiding us. Lord, help us to be guided. Help us to be available to your moving. Help us, Lord, to want to do what you want us to do. Lord, be with folks today. Lord, be with our visitors. Let them know that they don't have an enemy here. They're just in a room full of friends that care about them and love them very much. But they do have an adversary. And that adversary, certainly, if they're not saved, he wants them to stay lost. He doesn't want them to become Christians. He doesn't want them to have a place prepared for them in heaven. All he wants them to do is stay lost. He doesn't have an agenda for them. He just wants them to stay lost. Lord, please, if there's one in this room that doesn't know you as Savior, oh, I pray that they take you as Savior today. I hope that they do not wait one more minute to get saved. Lord, help us Christians in here as we battle with this flesh and we battle with these enemies that we all face. There's not one person in here, and I'm not looking at people as pointing them out. Lord, I'm looking at myself because that's how I treat my enemies. And Lord, I want my enemies to be treated as you would have me to treat them, not as I would want to treat them. Lord, that's going to be hard. Please help us today to get through it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say they know that they know that they know 100% sure that that adversary, the devil, did not keep them out of heaven? They know for sure that they're saved. They've asked the Lord to save them, and they're going to heaven when they die. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? I see a lot of hands raised. I see some that aren't. You may put them down. I appreciate your honesty. I give you my word. I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you, but I certainly want to pray for you. Because heaven is real and so is hell. Those are the only two places you're going to go. And if you accept the Lord as your Savior, you get to go to heaven. It's wonderful. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not about who you are, not about what you've done. It's about what he's done and who he is. And he loves you. He desperately wants to save you. And I hope and pray that you accept him today. When we stand and take invitation, I pray that you would come forward and get saved today if you don't know him. But I would ask, would there be one that would be willing to raise their hand and allow me to pray for them? Would there be one that would be willing to say, you know what, preacher, I don't know that if I died right now I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? I will not come to you. I give you my word. I just want to pray for you. Would there be one that would say, I don't know, but I want to know? And I pray I'm speaking to a room full of Christians that are battling this same battle just like I am. Christian, we need to pray for each other that we get this battle right. We need to pray for each other that we make it through this battle together. Because this is one thing I believe that will revolutionize our lives, revolutionize our church, revolutionize our heart. And who can argue against that? Dear Lord, I thank you so much again for the opportunity that was to preach. Lord, please be with these folks as the invitation begins. Lord, I pray that you pack this altar today. We all need you. So, Lord, please be with us as we come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand.